question, get some help, and you can read his story in the book of Nehemiah in the Bible. From being a barman, he became a builder. You know, God brings change into people's lives. So when you invite the Holy Spirit and say, you're welcome here, stuff happens. Hallelujah. Now, if you were reading the prayer that our sister's Chi-Chi circulated this morning, as I was, I'd already prepared what I was going to share this morning. But guess what? It's a lot of the same stuff. I want to share this morning about the greatest topic of them all, which is love. Now, I was mentored as a young Christian by someone who probably didn't realize he was mentoring me, but I used to go to a little meeting in a house of someone who was a great lover of God and lover of people and who always made love his aim. I saw him again a few weeks ago. But that left a deep impression on me. A life lived in a way that says, in everything that's important, make love the main thing. If you're ever not sure how to respond to something, make sure your response is with love. Make that the priority. And when you see that modelled and even taught, it just has a big impact on you. And when you experience love, it has a big impact on you. And that's where God's relation with us began. And that's where our relation with him and each other begins as well. And I just want to look at some scriptures in that regard. And by God's grace, maybe this will stay with you as long as the mentoring that I received as a young man of 20 has stayed and continues to stay with me. That you just realize whenever you begin to depart from love into either argument or trying to win stuff or trying to get stuff or trying to make people do what you want, whenever you move away from love, you're moving away. Come back. This is the call of God to us, is to express his heart into the world. And when God expressed his heart into the world, he did so by expressing his love. And he did that most perfectly in Jesus, in his birth and in his death. We in the Western Church tend to celebrate his death, maybe more than his birth. And we make a big deal, and so we should, about his crucifixion. And perhaps the Eastern Church makes maybe a bigger deal about the birth of Jesus and make a big deal, as we all should, about what we call his incarnation. Jesus became a, what do you think? A long time ago in the Bible, there was a man called Job. He was probably, it's probably one of the oldest books in the Bible, even though the books aren't ordered that way. And Job had a bit of an argument with God. Life turned out badly for him, and his wife said, throw it all in. This malarkey of fearing God is for nitwits. And he didn't. And at the end of a long process that you may have read about in those 42 chapters, God showed up in answer to his question, and God said to him, do you see the lion? I made the lion. And see them goats? Do you know how they give birth? I do. How about the donkeys and the horse? And God enumerated all these wonderful creatures to sort of show him how great God was. Which is maybe not the way you would have written God's speech if you were writing it. But that's what God said to him. But when God decided to take a bodily form and come into the world, as Jesus says, a body you have prepared for me, it wasn't the body of a horse or a goat or a donkey or even a lioness or a crocodile. It was a human. And there, for a second time, God has greatly honoured all of humanity by making us in his image in the beginning, but then by becoming a human. And we tried to sing it there, but it's hard to grasp the immensity of it, of how great God is, the Word from the beginning, the Word, the one behind it all, the one who sustains all things, the Word, and then became, like, what we say, flesh, or became one of us. So how honoured we have been. And every human that you meet is part of this race of beings that God became one of. You don't have to figure out beforehand whether they're a good person or a bad person, whether you like them, whether you don't like them, whether they're your type or not your type. If it's a human, it's a God one. Honor that person. Love that person. God became Emmanuel, one of us. He didn't become one of us when we were Christians, okay? He became one of us, just us, as members of the human race. He became one of us and went on then to redeem us by his blood. So this is an extraordinary thing, that God, from the beginning, was moved and motivated by love. Love's a funny thing. And how do you keep on loving if the person isn't very responsive to you? We've got a friend right now. I don't want to give you too much detail, but we have a friend right now who's in a bit of trouble. Okay, Not that he's done something wrong, but he's in a sticky situation. He's had a hard situation to deal with. He's had difficult people to deal with. And I was talking to him during the week, and I says, can we come and see you? And, well, I actually sent him a text to say, can we come and see you? I was chatting to him earlier. Now, it would be a lot of inconvenience to go and see him because, you know, it takes a whole day. And so I said, can we come and see you? Do you know what? He hasn't replied to my text. Ha! Take him! See, how do you respond when there's some uncertainty? So, well, we were going to go to all that trouble. Doesn't even answer my text. You see, it's so easy to start off loving and then let tiredness or fatigue or frustration or interpretation shift you out of that again. Let's take the kindest interpretation that the facts will allow. Okay? There's lots of uncertainty. What's happened? I don't know. It could be snowed under. I know he's got an awful lot going on. And so let's just hold that there. Just to hold our hearts in love. Because, I mean, Jesus could have just thrown in the towel. Couldn't he? Like, this crowd. You know, there he is on the cross, giving his life. And what's he getting? People saying, oh, thanks, Jesus. So glad you came. You did this for us. Brilliant. No. Not even from his friends. Left them. Laughed at them, others. Just taking them for granted. And did he keep on loving? Yes, he did. That's why that passage, which shouldn't be read at weddings, says, love is patient. Love is kind. It's okay. If it was read at your wedding, you're still married. Okay? Sorry about that. Sorry about that if you're hoping for a different end to that sentence. But it's not about weddings. It's about church. It's about speaking in tongues and prophesying and giving to the poor and all the stuff we do in church. The way we serve one another. It says, do all these things. But do it with love or you're wasting your time. If you have a great food bank, and if you sing in tune, and if the preaching is eloquent, and if the tea is tasty, and if the building's nice and warm, and everything's cool, and you don't love, shut the door, someone, and stop having those meetings. Because if you don't have love, it all counts for zilch. So this is what God shows to us, is his own love active. Not just some legal, transactional solution to our problem, but something that's warm and that comes from his heart to us and that calls us to be born anew into people who also love like he loves. I was going to read this. So God begins with love. We know the verse John 3:16. It's not clear whether it's John or Jesus that's saying it. Do you notice that? Because they don't have quote marks in Greek. And so it's not clear whether it was part of the narrative that Jesus had just spoken the few verses earlier, or whether that quotation had closed and now John is offering this as commentary. But whoever said it, whether John under the inspiration of the Spirit or whether Jesus said it directly, here's what it says. God so loved. So loved. Wouldn't it be great if people were saying that about you and me? You know, he so loves, she so loves. If that's what impacted them. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, there's many ways to tell the story of Jesus and his salvation. But whatever way you tell it, it begins with God being moved by love. He wasn't under obligation to do it. He wasn't made to do it. He didn't do it from some other motive, but he did it from love. God loved. And so he gave his Son. So from the beginning, that's how God has related to us, is in love. That's how it all starts between God and us. And that's how it begins with us too. We begin with love. It says, we love because he loved us first. So you see how everything begins in love. I mean, I could make other comments. But God begins moving towards us in love. And we begin loving because he loved us first. It begins with love. And why exactly does his love beget love in us? I think it's more than an imitation. It's partly imitation. We see God loving and we think about his love and we understand his love. And we think we imitate what we look at. So it's an imitation of God. But I think it's more than that. It's that we're affected by love. His love to us affects who we are. When we receive his love, it just affects us, and we become different. It's hard to keep on being cranky when you're receiving love, when someone's loving you. Try it. If you have any cranky people in your life, just try keeping on being gracious and loving, and smile if you can, and giving and gentle, and let your tone be gentle. As they get sharper and sharper and sharper, just let your tone be gentle. Not rebuking as such, but just keep loving and see what happens. We do impact one another, just like God impacts us. We love because he loved us first. That's why we love each other. That's why we're able to love. He loved us first. And like I said earlier, we love all people, not just each other who are already believers. It says in 1 Thessalonians 3:12, probably the first letter written in the whole New Testament, by the way. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. It's great to be around someone who talks and thinks and loves like that. You know, he says, oh, we love you so much, can't hold it, it's overflowing, too much to hold in. May God cause you to multiply in love like that. You might think, it must have been lovely back then. You know what? It was just like it is now. There were difficult people in the church and outside the church, just like there are now. But in these environments that are difficult, we are just called to be ones who love and let it overflow. Sometimes it needs overflowing because there's a bit of dryness around it. So overflow is good. And like I said, God didn't start loving us when we were deserving of it. He didn't say, nearly there, now I can start loving you. No, no. He says, while we were still sinners, God sent Christ to die for us, showing his great love for us. So, we are called to pursue love. 1 Corinthians 14, the one that comes after 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, that great love passage, is actually a little parenthesis between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, which is all about how to behave yourself in the church. Seeing as you're in the church, here's how to behave yourself. Here's how to serve others. Here's how to use your gifts. Here's how to think about yourself. Here's how to think about other people who are different from you. Value them. Give what you have. Don't think you're less because you can't sing like her. Don't think you're more because you're able to do this or that and someone else can't do it. And in the middle of all that, love is the way to do it. And then at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, he starts back in and he says, pursue love. Go after love. Make that the thing you're about. One thing I notice, and I'm sure you notice, about corporate life, business life, is that there's really one priority, and it's, you know, shareholder value, profit. Like, in theory, there's three priorities, profit, planet, and people. But in reality, it seems to me that profit is the trump card. And so, if this was a corporate motivational talk, say, go after profit, make more profit than the other business, and you'll prosper. But here, what the scripture says to us is, go after love. Go after it. It's the bottom line. It's the bottom line. Go after it. Make the choices that are best for love. Pursue love. If you've got everything else going on, but you don't have love, you're nothing. And it says in Ephesians 5:2, it says, live a life of love. It says, walk around in love. Peripatete. You might know that English word, peripatetic, which means someone who walks around the place. You used to have peripatetic nurses, you know, they'd be in your home and say, how are you doing? Okay, peripatetic, walking around the place. Well, we are told to walk around the place. Doesn't sound very purposeful, does it? Walking around, going here and going there. It says Jesus went around doing good. He didn't go straight for Jerusalem on the first day of his ministry. He went around for quite a while doing good, healing people, casting out demons, teaching, caring for people. Going around doing good. And we're called to follow in his footsteps. Walk around in love. That's your purpose. You might think, where am I supposed to go, Lord? Who should I marry? Which car will I buy? Where will I live? What will I work at? What's your will for my life? God, please. Nothing. Oh, this is terrible. He's not answering my prayers. Here's God's will for you. Walk around in love. Huh? Yeah, where are you today? I'm at home. Yeah. Okay, you're at home. Now, how can you show love? Who's at home? Just me, ma. Okay, how can you show love to your ma? And then I'm going to school. Who's at school? No, Joe, Bill. Well, how can you show love? That's the will of God. God. I thought God was kind of had much kind of bigger fish to fry. I know these are humans. These are big fish. Okay. Made in his image. Love where you are. Wow. And then see what happens. See if God doesn't elevate your life into something that you feel the value of. Live a life of love. Walk around in love. I don't know what I'm meant to be doing, but while I'm here, I'm just going to love. You found God's will. Do everything. It's 1 Corinthians 16:14. Do everything with love. Whatever you do, do it with love. This is God's will for us. You can get caught up in being right and winning arguments and making money and other stuff, other objectives in life. But here's what we're called to. Live a life of love. Now, if we do live a life of love, you know that great things happen. For one thing, everyone will recognize us. If we live a life of love, everyone can recognize that we are disciples of Jesus. John 13:35. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, by this everyone will recognize that you're followers of mine because you've loved one another. He said, everyone will recognize. It doesn't take a Christian to recognize a Christian. I mean, a Christian does recognize a Christian. Ahni and Kirog, Kirog Ella. But you don't have to be a Christian to recognize a Christian. Anybody can recognize a Christian and say, look how much they love each other. If they're not saying that, well, there's not a whole lot to recognize, is there? It's not about, oh, we believe this, not that, but this. And these are our propositional beliefs. And we're right, and they're a little bit wrong, and they're slightly off color, but we're right about everything. I don't think so. Jesus said, you're recognized by love. Great love is recognized. Where did that come from? That love, that overflowing thing, that going beyond, that extra mile. What's going on? This person's like Jesus. And even people who don't know Jesus and don't claim to be following Jesus, they can recognize something that's like Jesus. They recognize Jesus himself. If we love each other, everyone recognizes it. If we love each other, God lives in us. 1 John 4:12. No one has ever seen God. Like we said at the start, that's kind of a problem. But if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. If we love one another, God lives in us. God lives among us. Do we want the presence of God? Yes, we do. How are we going to get that? Love. Love attracts them. You know how creatures always find their habitat? You know, like if there's a suitable habitat, the critters will be there. If there's a pond, there'll be fish. If there's a nesting place, there'll be birds. Somehow they just find it. We had a Whopper. You remember, are there still Whopper bars? You know those sugary bars? Is there still such a thing? Years ago, there was a Whopper bar. It cost about a penny. It was just kind of pure sugar, hard stuff that kids would eat. But there was a piece of a Whopper bar that got stuck down behind the back seat of our Ford Fiesta back in the day when our kids were small and ate Whopper bars. Guess what? A little critter thing. When we found the Whopper bar, there was a little critter thing in there eating it. You know, like a little kind of wormy thing that just likes sugary, gooey things. Now, my question is, how did he know that in there, behind the back seat of a Ford Fiesta, would be a Whopper bar if he sort of crawled all night? How did he know? I've no idea. But here's the thing. If you create suitable conditions, you will get that life form. It just happens. It just happens in this world. Now, if you want God to live with you, love. If we want God to be among us, let's love one another and love all people. Because God is attracted to that. And somehow, we don't know how he gets in there. Where did he come from? How did it happen? But God is there where there's love. It's his habitat. And he is there. God lives in love. If we live in love, God lives among us. God is love. Another thing that happens if we love is that we fulfill all the requirements. You know all those commandments? Don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. And then the other commandments, do this and do this and do this. If we love, guess what? We get an A in them all. Because love fulfills all those things. If you love someone, you don't steal from them. If you love someone, you don't tell lies about them. Love is the positive commandment. Which by following that, you avoid all the no entry here, wrong way, don't go here. If we love, we save ourselves a lot of trouble trying to avoid this misstep and that misstep. Let love be your aim. Make love your aim. You will not go wrong. And make love your aim as you engage with other people, whatever that means. So you've got a, you know, you've got a puzzling situation with someone. Should I say it to them? It's a bit awkward if I say it. If I don't say it, that's probably not the best thing either. And you don't know which way to go. You know, either one. To say it requires a bit of courage. Not say it feels like you're probably not being honest or something else. And you don't know which way to go. What does love counsel you to do? What's the most loving thing to do there? To be straight with them and say it? To just let it pass for a little while, give it until Tuesday and maybe see then? And to be able to choose either of those things, because love is your main thing. You're not the person who always has to be saying it, but you're not the person who's always afraid to say it either. You see, don't make something else your aim. I'll always go for the quiet life. I'll always go for the quiet option. I'll always just say what I think. That's what I am. I'm honest. People just have to deal with that. You're not someone who always has to sort of burst out with your thoughts and your opinion. Or you're not someone who always shuts up, but you're someone who always pursues love. So sometimes you speak, and sometimes you can bear with it. Whatever would best serve love. So, Lord, how can I express your love here? Jesus expressed God's heart to the world, didn't he? So can you. So can we. We express God's heart by love. And Jesus expressed God's heart by loving to the end. He loved his own who were in the world, it says. He loved them to the end. He loved them as far as he could go. Sometimes you wonder, how much further can I go? Okay? You go as far as you can. Okay? Can you go one more day? Can you love for now? Who knows? Life changes as the days go by. When you're in a certain situation, it might feel like forever. It's never going to change. There's this. If you can love today, in the moment you're in, with the people that you engage with, whether it's home or people that you find easy to get on with, people you don't find easy to get on with, if you can love and just keep receiving the love of God and expressing the love of God, you are being a success. But Jesus loved us to the end. We thank you, Jesus, that you came, became human, and gave us your body and blood. You gave all you had to give. And we thank you, Lord, that you have been to us that example of love. And also that your love poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit has changed us into people who have now an ability to choose love. It's not automatic, but we can choose it. So, Lord Jesus, we come now today and we celebrate this great gift of yours in giving yourself to us because God so loved us. And we ask you, Lord, that as we take the bread and the wine, that we will be affirmed in the love of God and in our pursuit of the love of God. So, Lord, we just lift our hearts up to you, share the bread and wine together, that your love would be perfected in us and that we would express your love in the world. Amen. Can you guys put on a background song or tune while we share the bread and wine here? Lisa, would you be kind enough just to pour out some wine there? And maybe your two sons would pass out the glasses. Is that all right, gentlemen? Thank you. I'll break this right here.
I sing a simple song of love to